Welcome. This is Kathleen Pearl, and this is called The Temple and the Altar. This particular teaching comes out of the whole issues surrounding the Temple Mount and the rebuilding of the temple. And of course, obviously, there's a lot of controversy over this. I have been involved in this dialogue about the temple for many years. Now I want to give you a teaching overview of the temple according to Yeshua, the Messiah. But first, I want to look at a couple of Old Testament scriptures that point to the better and more excellent heavenly tabernacle that Emmanuel brought heaven to earth when he came. He's God tabernacling with us. And your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right. In Exodus 20:24, well, let's start at the prior verse, 22. Exodus 20:22, and the Lord said to Moses, "Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall you make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth you shall make to me, and shall sacrifice on it burnt offerings and peace offerings and sheep and oxen and all the places where I record my name, I will come unto you and I will bless you. And if you will make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone. For if you lift up a tool upon it, you have polluted it." That is through verse Exodus 20:22-25. Now here God is saying to the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt full of idols, and they are still packing their idols. In fact, they had a couple of major failings worshiping cows. And God says to him, this is his instruction, because I've talked with you from heaven, okay, he's saying this is how heaven has made it, an altar of earth you'll make of me. Okay, he doesn't need any fancy altars or anything else. Earth speaks of man. Man was made of earth. He's going to speak from heaven once yet again. It says in Hebrews, he spoke once at Mount Sinai, and he's going to speak again from Mount Zion, from this altar of earth. And who is this that's speaking? Yeshua. He's the altar. He was the only acceptable sacrifice that was given to atone for the sins of mankind. His blood is the only pure blood. "And you will make me an altar of stone that you shall not build of it hewn stone. For if you lift your tool upon it, you have polluted it." So anything that man sets his hand upon, he pollutes. And the altar is holy. And the offering that goes on it becomes holy because the altar is holy. And this speaks of Yeshua. He was the altar of earth. He had an earthly body. He tabernacled with us. He offered himself up on that altar. He's the only acceptable offering. And he is the stone, the chief cornerstone of the entire temple. Let's look at another instruction. In Deuteronomy 27:4, the Lord is instructing Joshua, "Therefore, it shall be when you go over Jordan that you shall set up these stones, which I command you this day in Mount Ebal, and shall plaster them with plaster." This is a reconfirming of the covenant. "And there you shall build an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall not lift up any iron tool upon them. You shall build the altar of the Lord, your God, of whole stones, and you shall offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord your God, and you shall offer peace offerings, and you shall eat there and rejoice before the Lord your God, and you shall write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. This was pointing to a day when the law was no longer written on stony hearts, but hearts of flesh by the finger of the Lord. The instruction here reiterates the instruction in Exodus 20. You shall not lift any iron tool upon them, because why? Because if you lift tool upon it, it becomes polluted. Polluted. I am the Lord, I change not. And the Lord has permitted certain things at certain times, and it's no longer permissible because the better has come, the more excellent way. Let's look at this stone that is the altar, that is the altar that is the acceptable altar. In Daniel 2:31, Daniel is interpreting a dream for the king of Babylon. He says, "Thou, king, saw and beheld a great image, and this great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before you, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. You saw that a stone was cut without hands." This looks to Yeshua. The altar, the acceptable altar, it's not polluted. It's not made with man's hands. And this stone that was cut without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were iron and clay, and broke them to pieces. And then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This image is all the idolatrous political kingdoms over the earth, the different eras of them. And the stone is Yeshua, and he breaks them apart and blows them away, and he becomes a great mountain, his holy mountain, and he fills the whole earth. The dominion of the earth then belongs to Yeshua, the stone cut without hands. Let us now look at a couple of scriptures from the New Testament about what Yeshua said. When Yeshua was talking to the Samaritan woman in John 4:21, and she was asking him some theological questions, because Mount Ebal, which was the quote that I took from Deuteronomy 27, was about the mountain where the Samaritans worshipped. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me." And she was asking him, "Which mountain should we worship, Samaria or in Jerusalem?" And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour has come when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, worship the Father. You worship, you know not what." We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Here, Jesus is saying, he's the one. He's it. "But the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers," those who worship in truth, "shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him." God is the Spirit. "And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And the woman said to him, "I know the Messiah comes," which is called Christ. "When he's come, he will tell us all these things." And Yeshua said unto her, "I that speak to you am he." Here, this is about, are we supposed to worship at this mountain or that mountain? And Yeshua is saying, no, he's the mountain. The spirit and truth are the mountain of the worship. The spirit of God, because earth, flesh, dirt, these things, we don't, this is a body of corruption. We do not inherit spiritual holiness. And truth is loving the truth, because Yeshua is the truth. And he stated that to Pilate quite clearly. Let's look at another scripture from John chapter 2, 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Yeshua went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said to him, what sign showest you unto us, seeing that you do these things? Jesus answered them and said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and will you rear it up in 3 days? But he spoke of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Jesus himself said he was the temple. His body was. It was the earth and temple. It was the stone. And if we are the body of Christ, if we come into his, under his headship, and let's look at what his headship said. He said, he's not into merchandising and dealing in temporal matters like temples and oxen and sheep sacrifices and money changers. No. We come under the government of the Holy Spirit and truth. And 1 Corinthians 3 teaches this as the temple of God. Verse 16, know you not, you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body, your little earth, is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. For you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. All right, let's go to some epistles. In Acts, let's look at while Stephen was teaching before the elders in the temple, Acts 7:44-50. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built a house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as says the prophet, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, says the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Has not my hand made all these things? Now this is a reference to Isaiah 66. The scriptures from Isaiah 1 through 66 is an overview of the 66 books of the Holy Scriptures. Therefore, the end scriptures in Isaiah speak of the last days and the events that are happening. Isaiah 66:1 says, and this is the scripture that Stephen referenced, thus says the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build to me? And where is the place of my rest? For all these things has my hand made, and all those things have been, says the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is of poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. He that kills an ox is as if he slew a man. This is talking about animal sacrifice now. He that sacrifices a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offers an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burns incense as if he blessed an idol. Yes, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights in their abominations. I will also choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. And when I spoke, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. Hear you the word of the Lord, you that tremble at his word, your brothers that hated you, that cast you off for my name's sake, says the Lord, be glorified. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Let's look again in Hebrews 8:1. Now, the things we have spoken of, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who sat on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. And let's go down to verse 5. Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, he says, you make all things according to the pattern that showed on in the mount. All right. This was a pattern. The tabernacle, the tent, the Mishkan, the tabernacle, which is closer to God's heart than even the temple, because Solomon, when Solomon's temple was made, they became apostate. Religion became apostate because they made stones and put their own handiwork to it. They made it into a religion of their own altar. Certainly there were people who still loved the Lord and worshiped, but this lended to apostasy. Therefore, we've understood that God doesn't need a house, that he is the temple, Yeshua is the temple, and he is the more excellent ministry. So why should we go back to the type and shadow when we have the realization, Hebrews 8:6, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry. How much also is the mediator of a better covenant? Not only was he the temple, he was the altar, but he was the sacrifice, which was established upon better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second? For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. Okay, this is supernatural, this covenant. This is a spiritual covenant, not a covenant of flesh. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. In that he says, a new covenant, he has made the first old. Now that which decays and waxes old is ready to vanish away. Why? Because just as it said in the beginning of this particular thought is, but he's obtained a more excellent ministry. The old tabernacle of Moses was a type and shadow. He's the realization. He's the fullness. Hebrews 9:1, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building. And in Ephesians 2:19, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being what? The chief cornerstone. Here it is. He's the one made without hands because he is divine. In whom all the building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. If we are joined to him and we are building him, and then we are put together as a habitation of the Spirit. Let me share with you a couple of visions I had that reinforces this. This is a very recent vision, probably within the last week, and I saw a crystal tower. It was huge. It was the corner. Two walls came together in a 90-degree angle, and on the corner was a crystal tower. It was white, pure. You could see through it. It was all cut and faceted, and it went up to a point. And this crystal tower reflected light all over. And along the sides of the walls were stones in the walls. But these weren't this, and I knew that this was the gate, this was the wall around the holy city. And it was not like any picture ever depicted. In fact, it totally threw out any concept, previous concept that I'd had about those stones in the wall. Some stones were oval, some were cabochon, some were emerald cut, some were diamond cuts, different diamond cuts. And I was just floored because I thought, how, here's all these stones and they're all different cuts and shapes and sizes, which speaks of us. How could they all come together in this wall? And I felt the Spirit saying to me that the mortar that put them together was the love of God that caused them to be fit rightly and placed in the wall. And in the crystal tower, I went into the, and I don't know how I went into this crystal tower, but the light refracted and became a prismatic rainbow, which spoke of all the promises of God. I just want to speak about the crystal tower a little bit, that spoke of the cornerstone. Chris means that's the anointing, like Christ, crystal. And it was had perfect angles. A crystal has the perfect line, plumb line and level. It's not wavy or distorted. It's that cornerstone, that crystal tower spoke of Yeshua, the chief cornerstone. And when you went into him, you went into his promises of the covenant, the rainbow, that he has that eternal place for us. I'd like to conclude with a few scriptures from Revelation 15. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. Okay, this refers to Moses's, the pattern that he saw. I want to address just one thing before I go into the final two scriptures, or one scripture, about many people say that in Revelation 11:1, and I'll quote the scripture here, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And in this scripture, and then it goes on to talk about the two witnesses, but it doesn't say anything about there is an earthly temple there. Okay? It says, go and measure the temple of God that's in the holy city. And I want to suggest to you that it's possible that this is not what people have thought it to be, but that it's actually the body of Christ, and that they are being sealed and marked for this time. There's so much we don't understand unless God gives us revelation. Revelation 22, and we'll start with Revelation 21, 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Revelation 22:2, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. This leads me to believe that the temple of God is those of us who are have the Spirit of God in us. And the measuring the temple and out, well, I'm not going to touch on that. I have some personal ideas that I feel are by revelation, but we will let God display His glory. Most of the prophecies in the scriptures not understood until after they had been accomplished. Even the disciples did not understand that who Yeshua was and all the prophecies of the Old Testament that refer to Him. It was not until after His death, burial, and resurrection, when He came and instructed them, that they began to understand that He was the prophecies fulfilled of the Old Testament. God bless you. May you continue to grow and glorify Him with the beauty of your life as you demonstrate the Holy Spirit to those around you. In Yeshua's name.